last couple of weeks, particularly because of a young woman by the name of Brittany Maynard in the United States who set a day that she was going to take her own life. She had was diagnosed with brain tumours and had treatment for that. She was losing part of her life at a time, and she felt before it would be all taken from her that she was going to die with some dignity, and she was going to make a day and take her own life. She has since passed away. And I've been a big believer in trying to change the law so that people have that choice, that they can die with dignity. I talked to Dr. Rod Symes the other day. I talked to him 6 months ago when he admitted to me live on air that it was only a fortnight earlier that he had helped somebody take their own life, and he would continue to do the same thing. The police won't go after him. They sort of pretended to go after him, but their heart really isn't in it. And he is happy to be made an example of. I mentioned last week I'd really like to debate somebody or chat to somebody who is against making a change here, and they believe that euthanasia is wrong, because there is a fair section of the community that believes that, and they are really holding this back. Look, in my opinion, they are holding this back. They are holding the dying with dignity laws from being looked at properly and going ahead. There's a good piece in the Sydney Morning Herald today, and I'll talk to the man who wrote it. He is against euthanasia. I'll talk to him in a sec. So I was reading this piece in the Sydney Morning Herald today, and it's well put together, but I did want to have a talk to him. John McLean is on the line. He's the vice principal of the Christ College in Sydney, the Presbyterian Theological Centre in Sydney, where he teaches theology and also teaches ethics, and he puts out his arguments against euthanasia. And I'll read you the very last paragraph of his piece. It said, Brittany Maynard's sickness was terrible, and her death, however it came about, was always going to be grievous. I suspect that physician-assisted suicide has made it even more tragic. And he's on the line. John, thank you for your time.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk about an important issue.
It is important. Do you think that you are in the minority or the majority?
In my view on euthanasia?
Yeah.
I think the surveys have suggested that when you just ask people, you know, phone survey what they think, that lots of people would support euthanasia legislation. I think often that's not very thought through, and I think it's important that we have a informed debate that really gets the issues out there.
Yeah, sure. All right. So, I'm glad that I've got such an intelligent guy to fight against it, because it's not that often that you get somebody fighting against a change in the euthanasia laws. So, I want to ask you, what is your problem with it? With making a change?
Sure. I guess the basic way to say it is, I want to live in a society that really promotes and protects life. And I think legislating for euthanasia or physician-assisted dying doesn't do that, and it really starts to confuse the goals of medicine.
Why doesn't it do that? Why can't we have euthanasia laws and still protect life and still value life?
Well, one of the things it does is it confuses the goals of medicine, that medicine traditionally has been about, again, preserving life and certainly relieving pain, but not taking the life of patients. And as Nicholas Tontifilippini, who was one of the leading bioethicists.
Yeah, I know Nicholas,
Australia,
yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he himself died just a few days ago.
Oh, did he?
He did.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Had he been unwell for a while?
Oh, he'd had a degenerative illness.
That's awful. I'm very sorry about that. I didn't know that.
He himself talked about how if his medical carers had been in a situation where they could have started to talk to him about ending his life, that would have undermined the relationship that he had with his carers. And so that was a guy who'd lived for 30 or 40 years with degenerative illness.
I don't understand that, though, John. Sorry, I'm a little bit shocked at finding out he died. I've known him for years. So you're telling me that it undermines the care. In what way does it undermine the care? This is what I'm trying to get my head around. I do want to understand the point you're making. In what way?
But medicine medicine has been about preserving life and seeking to enhance it where we can, and then certainly provide some, you know, comfort where we can't enhance life. But that there's a big difference in dividing line between doing that or then taking life.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain to me how it undermines caring for somebody. How does it do that?
Well, on the bigger picture, there's certainly, you know, evidence in some of the countries that have introduced this sort of legislation, say in Europe, that the pressure then comes on for people who we would want to maintain their life, I think, say people with mental illness, who then either themselves or from people around them start to feel the pressure to...
Sure. I don't think... I know that Philip Nitschke is quite full on. In fact, when I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't have disagreed more when he said that, you know, basically, if you want to take your own life, you should be able to, no matter what your health status is. I certainly don't believe in that. But I'm not talking about mental health here, and I don't think many people that are talking intelligently about euthanasia are talking about mental health. I mean, when is the last time you saw a euthanasia campaigner, putting Philip Nitschke aside, that had talked about mental health?
Sure, it's just that is where things have gone in Europe over the decade that they've had that legislation in place.
What is to say that is going to happen here?
Well, that's what we're talking about, what might happen, of course.
Yeah. John, with the greatest of respect to you, I appreciate you coming on, and I know I asked you to come on, but you haven't answered that question yet. You said it undermines the care of patients, but you haven't been able to tell me how that happens.
Well, what I'm saying is it changes the direction of medicine. I'm not saying that in every single case patients wouldn't be cared for. I think you know, it's more about the whole direction of where medical care in our society leads. And we want to be, I think we want to be a society that puts our effort and our energy into finding, providing good palliative care, and try to help people in pain.
Do you think, though, if we were to overhaul the euthanasia laws where people were able to die with dignity, do you think that we would stop looking for cures for things like cancer, heart disease, dementia? Do you think that we would stop looking for cures for those things if we overhauled these laws? Do both, John.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen overnight, but I think there would be a subtle change of direction in the way we view medicine. And it's interesting that, I mean, you're talking about the minority who resist this kind of change. The AMA are part of that minority. So, you know, the bulk of the medical profession in Australia don't see this as the kind of way they want to go in their practice.
Yeah. Okay, well, I must admit, it's been a long time since I asked the AMA for their opinion on euthanasia. John, I won't personalise this too much, but, I mean, you could imagine what it would be like to see somebody waste away and to see somebody, they don't have that control. They're going to lose their life. They're going to lose it in quite an awful, awful kind of way, and they don't have that control to end that life when they feel they really need to. Must be an awful bloody position to be in, John, you would think.
Yes, I mean, I imagine you probably know. I certainly went through that with my younger sister about 18 months ago.
I'm sorry.
And in the church work that I've been involved with over the years.
Yep.
Yeah, with lots of people facing death and facing pain and families dealing with that.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting that you haven't got any personal experience on that. I'm not saying that you don't know what you're talking about. I'm just trying to figure out why people are against it, because there certainly seems to be a movement of people that are against it. I want to hear the argument. I think people want to hear the argument. And I don't know if we really get it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the difference is there are genuinely different perspectives in the basic assumptions.
Yeah.
So as a Christian, I see life as a gift that God's given us on trust, and that it's not simply ours to dispose.
But you can still see life, whether you be a Christian or anything, you can still see life as a gift. And I guess if it's a gift to me, then I would say, what right do you have in telling me how I would like to end it? And I'm not talking about suicide. I'm talking about euthanasia here. I'm talking about terminal illness and only terminal illness. What right do you have to be able to tell me how precious my life is to me?
Yeah, well, as an individual person, I've got no right to tell you that. but this is part of a discussion about social policy
yeah.
that we have to work on together. So I'm not pretending that simply because I say it,
yeah.
or simply because...
Churches are powerful. The churches are powerful in political circles.
Well, yes, probably less powerful than they were in the past.
Yes, I would concede that. Look, I'll let you go, John. I appreciate you having the debate with me.
Okay, thanks for the...
And I'm sorry to hear about Nicholas. If you're talking to his family, please pass on my best.
All right.
Thank you. Dr. John McLean, Vice Principal of Christ College in Sydney, teaches theology and ethics. Let's get some news headlines with Glenn Lauder. Hi, Glenn.
Justin, good afternoon. The ICAC has agreed to a further delay in its inquiry into high-ranking prosecutor Margaret Kinnear.